Yo, Chad, how's it going?
What's up? How you doing? It's been a while.
Yeah, I know. Too long. Too long.
I know the community is all having withdrawals here, so hopefully this will hold everyone over.
It's only been 2 weeks. I hope people know that.
Yeah, but it's been 3 weeks since I've been on, so I think that's what people are really
Oh,
concerned about.
true. Yeah, that makes sense.
What's up, Orion?
Good morning. Good morning. Can you guys hear me all right? I'm on some new headphones today.
Yeah, you sound good.
All right,
Morning.
sweet. So you guys notice anything different or
Yeah, you're looking a little flushed.
Yeah, just did my hair.
Went with a dyed your hair red, looking pretty for the avalanche.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It looks super clean. I kind of want to do this more often when we launch new chains.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So, what's new with you guys? Anything interesting going on right now before we hop into it? Interesting news stories you've seen?
Nothing particularly jumps out. Can think of things that are kind of Thorchain, ThorSwap specific, but I'm sure we'll get into those. Yeah, I don't know. Have you?
No, I've been super focused on the Avalanche launch and stuff like that. So it actually, like, I know people have been saying, like, we haven't done spaces the last 2 weeks, but next week's actually going to be crazy. We have like three spaces planned for next week at least. So it's going to be a packed week next week. There's some it'll be some with some cool partners and stuff like that. People that are using Thorchain like in the way that it's intended. So yeah, there's going to be some sick spaces next week, and it'll be a big week for the Thorchain space enjoyers who have not been eating the past couple of weeks. So we should have
Yeah.
something on Tuesday, Wednesday, and like the normal Friday space.
Awesome. Do we have like an exact agenda or schedule yet, or like that'll be TBD soon?
Yeah. I have the schedule, and we can I guess announce who they are at. I guess we could do it at the end of the space today. We'll just go through like what's going on for next week. But all right, we'll leave that as a teaser for now. But like, there's some good stuff planned with like people who are actually using Thorchain for being Thorchain. So be a big week. So we want to hop
Sweet.
into it with
Yeah.
AVAX
Let's do
launch.
it.
I guess we could do a quick introduction first. So this is Familiar Cow with Nine Realms. What's up, guys?
This is Chad Thoreau. I do content for ThorSwap and host Thorchain Spaces.
Hey guys, this is Orion with Nine Realms.
Hey guys, this is Eridanus, also with Nine Realms.
All right, so AVAX launched the Avalanche. It's actually t it's today, like it's tonight at in about 8 hours. So like, click on the link that's pinned on the top, and you'll see the AVAX launch plan. So let's just go through it real quick, just step by step. So the first thing that needs to happen is the churn, and the churn's in about 8 hours from now, a little less than that. So when the churn happens, the Asgard vaults will generate AVAX addresses for each of the Asgard vaults, and that'll instantly open up trading for AVAX, and that's also inclusive of LP action. So you'll be able to add liquidity and swap and do things like that. Although I wouldn't recommend swapping right away because there'll be no liquidity, so I don't think you'd be able to swap right away. But the pools will be open instantly after the churn, I believe. Right. So the AVAX contract, sorry, the router will be set. And that's just a contract that routes the ERC-20 tokens, and then it'll be another about like 2 hours before USDC and USDT are live with AVAX. It just needs to go through a pool cycle, which just happens to be about like 2 hours after the churn. So then we'll actually see USDC and USDT live. It's also assuming that they hit the minimum liquidity requirements. So if they don't hit the minimum liquidity requirements, then they won't be live. But those pools won't be active immediately, just for deposits. But actual trading won't be for another like 2 hours or so after the launch.
Yeah, the minimum liquidity for a active pool is 10,000 rune. So if USDT and USDC don't hit 10,000 rune of depth before that pool cycle, it will wait to the next pool cycle, which is every 3 days.
Sweet. I actually didn't know about that pool. So what's a pool cycle actually, or not?
Pool cycle is basically when the network takes stock of all active and staged pools and determines if any staged pools meet the requirements to become active or if any active pools meet the requirements to move back to staged. Also, during a pool cycle, the network will essentially tax all staged pools 10 rune. This is just to incentivize people to, add liquidity and make it active, or remove the liquidity. We don't necessarily want the network to manage all this dead weight liquidity, so that just kind of incentivizes people to either add more liquidity or remove and just move on.
Yeah, I'd almost completely forgotten about that, because there hasn't really been people adding new pools. It's really just been people interacting with the deep pools that there's a lot of activity on. So there hasn't really been a lot of pools coming in and out of the network, which is something that we're not really used to, I guess, with just adding new pools into the network.
Yeah. Also with DEX aggregation now live, there's not a big need to add all these ERC-20 pools unless people are trying to get yield on it on ThorChain.
So looking out for users that are super quick to try to jump in here, as far as swaps, obviously users should be really careful of slippage because the pools are going to be so shallow at first. But for early LPs, how does that exactly go down? If anyone could explain, because at minute zero, it's the prices still kind of need to be set, right? So even an early LP still kind of should be careful that they're not adding at some completely imbalanced thing. And maybe you could walk through that a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. I actually don't know what the front end experience is on ThorSwap. I don't know if they pull from an outside oracle when a pool doesn't exist to try to help users. But yeah, I mean, essentially that's exactly right. Users should add liquidity into AVAX, on the AVAX and Rune side, in accordance with an external market price. So I think AVAX is around $17. And I think the ThorSwap interface should basically, help guide you, in terms of how much you're adding on both sides. If you, if you're the first LP, that you'll kind of have to do this manually and run a quick calc. Again, I don't know what the ThorSwap or other DEXs kind of provide in terms of that experience. But if you're one of the next ones and, the first 100 LPs, when liquidity is, not very deep, you just need to make sure that it's recommended that you just add symmetrically, and try to be as exact as possible. Or if you're adding asymmetrically, then the network will kind of rebalance for you, which could make you incur some heavy slippage there. So
there's slip when you enter asymmetrically. So I would definitely not recommend entering asymmetrically on a shallow pool that's just started. If you're planning on entering asymmetrically, I'd probably wait a couple of days at least. Definitely I would look to enter symmetrically if you're trying to enter the pool tonight.
Yeah, I think that's a good warning for users in general, is unless you're an advanced user and really know what you're doing with a new pool, probably a good idea to just give it a day, let some of the early people that know how to enter balance and all of that, make sure the pool gets off to a good start and all of that. But one little tip on the UI side on through ThorSwap, you can go into the advanced, and basically you can enter where you're entering both assets, but not 50-50. So that's a feature that you would want to dig into if you were trying to manually balance your position. Whereas 50-50 might not actually be right if the pricing is not yet set. So I would think you could do that. But you'd still, have to manually calculate. I'm pretty sure ThorSwap's not pulling any external data. I would have to clarify on that. But you'd at least be able to add that way if you wanted to.
Yeah. Okay. Who's taking bets on liquidity after, let's say, 1 week for AVAX? What do we think? I'm trying to remember what Adam was. I think Adam
was that $2 million deposit on the first week of Adam, or that might have been a couple weeks after. I can't remember if it was in the first week or not. But there was a big whale that deposited the $2 million LP deposit pretty soon after it started.
That's true. Yeah, I'm hoping for at least a mil after a week on AVAX. I think that would be a solid starting point.
Yeah, so I ran that was the first number that popped in my head.
I ran a poll last week just on my own account about, whether people think that AVAX will be a deeper pool or Adam will be a deeper pool. And it seems slightly biased towards AVAX. And a lot of that is just because Adam stakers just get a lot of benefits from staking natively on Adam, which makes a lot of sense because they have, their own incentive system with just airdrops in the Cosmos ecosystem. So you know, that, I guess that is, that isn't a thing for AVAX. So like, there are other DeFi protocols and things you can use to stake, but there's no like kind of incentives that don't have like a set like monetary value on them, like, you know, not really quantifiable like that. Like, you know, people really value their Atom airdrops and things like that. So we won't see that for AVAX. So like, I think there's going to be, there's like a totally different dynamic here with AVAX, especially just like the more full feature set with DEX aggregation, like rolling out, and also, you know, just the lack of airdrops for AVAX holders, but and then also, you know, just listing stable coins on AVAX, like USDC and USDT right away.
Yeah, I was going to say that, like, the stable coins, I think, are really big, because now we have EVM-based stable coins that are super cheap, you know, in terms of gas. I think people will, you know, that will definitely get love from arbitrage bots, and I think probably get love for people, you know, seeking that nice stablecoin yield. So I think that should definitely help with liquidity on the AVAX side.
Yeah, those are good insights, Cal. That definitely makes me bullish that AVAX will, I would guess, probably end up passing Atom in liquidity and volume and everything. I don't know if I would, I don't know what timeline I would put a bet on for it, but yeah, I mean, that's a really good point, especially about Atom having like incentives away from Thorchain in a sense, because there's so much else to do with it. And with AVAX so thriving and like this being, you know, potentially a really high yield place comparatively to put your AVAX, makes it even more compelling. And then all the usage through the stable pools, like that's a lot of potential, way more potential volume. So way more potential APR, thus attracting even more LPs. So yeah, I would guess it's gonna outpace it. Also, it's just noticing Atom is still at 21%. That's like one of the higher pools. So that's pretty solid. So maybe we'll see AVAX up there.
Yeah, Atom's a really solid performing pool. What is it, like 3.5 million of liquidity with, you know, 20% APR somewhere thereabouts. Like solid performing pool, especially for its depth. And you know, I think we like, I would personally bet that AVAX will have more liquidity than that. And like, God only knows what could happen with APR, because it really just depends how many people are trading it. But you know, DEX aggregation and everything else, like the stars kind of align for AVAX in that way. So it's going to be super strong on Thorchain.
Totally. How about this one? Do you guys think AVAX USDC will become deeper than ERC-20 USDC? And will either of them become deeper than BUSD?
That's a good one. I don't see why not.
I would say deeper, but I think the yield will be pretty high. I guess it depends, because, you know, yield on those stable coins really, depth on those stable coins really go to where the yield is. And if people start using those for arbitrage, especially like on Thorchain, where like ERC-20s are pretty expensive, like, you know, Ethereum ERC-20s, the Avalanche C-Chain ERC-20s will be a lot cheaper, and that'll really, you know, increase arbitrage in those pools and then drive the APRs on those like way up, right? So it's hard to say, like, over a long period of time, it could definitely overtake it, but I think like short term that we won't see that.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's definitely a chicken or the egg type of thing, where like you need both for it to scale. So I doubt it would like immediately pass either of them, but over the long term, it really does make perfect sense that it would, you know, like just thinking in my own personal experience, like if I needed to swap to, like, I don't really use BSD personally. If I needed to swap to a stable right now on Thorchain, like I probably would use like ERC-20 USDC. But if I had the option for AVAX, it's like, why would I not just do that and save a bunch of fees, assuming the depth is there? But that'll be kind of a no brainer, I think.
So Aridon, do you want to talk for a minute about DEX aggregation on Avalanche and kind of the status of that and how that'll be rolling out?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, there's a few teams working on DEX aggregators for AVAX. One of them is already live. I think we'll have a Twitter Spaces with that team next week. So I'm not going to call them out by name. I'm sure people can figure that out by digging through the DEX aggregation whitelist code, but I'll let people do that. So that's cool. And so we'll have at least one.
What's going on? I think Cal can't hear Aridonis.
Oh yeah, I can't hear him. Sorry.
Oh, weird. Yeah, I noticed a minute ago you kind of interrupted a little bit. It's all good, I think it was accidental. That's weird. I can hear you fine though, Aridonis. It seems like everyone can, I assume. It's weird. Okay. Maybe because you're the host of Cow.
Yeah, probably just me. You guys just keep going.
Okay. Well, yeah. So well, at least one DEX aggregator for a AVAX DEX will be live, you know, day one, right from the start. So we should be seeing, I mean, it's really cool because we can see, we can start seeing like swap in plus swap out. So if someone's swapping like a random ERC-20 on a DEX in ETHland and then going through Thorchain and then swapping to like a random ERC-20 on AVAX land through that aggregator, that should be pretty cool. I mean, that's like any ERC-20 to any ERC-20 across chain, which is the first time that we will be seeing that. So that will be, super cool. And, you know, that should, you know, help, integrations, you know, in the AVAX ecosystem as well. I mean, at least one, AVAX team will be rolling out a Thorchain integration alongside this. So that'll be super exciting.
Yeah. That use case wasn't immediately obvious to me, like early on in the process, but I've been getting more excited about it. Like the aggregator to aggregator swap, like any ERC-20 to any ARC-20 is honestly a really cool use case that, as far as I know, I don't really think there's any other really comparable ways of doing that right now. So that's like, that opens up something that we haven't really seen yet with Thorchain. Like we just saw like ERC-20 aggregators roll out and the whole conversation was like, oh, now you can, you know, we have all these Thorchain native assets and now you can swap those with ERC-20s. But now with this, with this AVAX aggregator, it's like, it's kind of different in a sense. Cause yeah, of course you can swap with all the native assets, but you can also swap with all the ERC-20s. So it's kind of like we're starting to see that thing I've been excited about for a long time, which is that every phase of the aggregator is exponential. Like it's not just like one more step of things. It's like, no, now you can connect all of these things to all of those other things and it becomes exponentially more powerful with every single advancement in aggregation. So that'll be kind of a first in the way I see it. So that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I've, you know, there's just all these, yeah, as you said, like all these exotic swapping routes that are being made possible by this design and this rollout. So this is like 6 months in the making, you know, AVAX was. So it's just cool to see it going live. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah. Also, ThorSwap is closer than I had even thought on AVAX aggregation. So they're actually shooting for end of next week. That's not a hard date yet. So nobody take that as a promise just yet. But the good news is it's actually a lot closer than any of us really thought. So, end of next week is a goal. But even at worst, it's, you know, really close, like soon after that, you know, within a couple weeks or so or something like that. So that'll be really great to see.
Nice. That's great to hear.
Cool cow. I guess you can't hear us, but we're...
Yeah. I can only hear you, Chad, for some reason. Yeah. I have no idea why. Sorry to run the audience. But yeah, next week we'll have a focused Twitter space just on DEX aggregation. And that'll be on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So Tuesday the 27th. So if anyone's around and wants to hear about DEX aggregation, we'll have a really cool Twitter space with one of the DEXs that's helping us with DEX aggregation and sourcing liquidity for the DEX aggregation basically. So if you want to hear more about DEX aggregation and talking with the DEXs that make it happen, that's going to be on Tuesday the 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So whatever side of the daylight savings time we're on, it's 8 o'clock on the East Coast in the United States. So if you're around, definitely come check that out.
Awesome. Yeah. Excited for a packed week of spaces accompanying the launch. That should help get the AVAX side of things worked up about this.
Yep. And other integrations. Orion, do we want to talk about any other integrations that are going on or what's up with you?
Yeah, sure. Just at a high level, the focus for Q4 is on integrations across the ecosystem. So that's helping new wallets, new DEXs all get integrated with Thorchain. We've been talking to a number of different projects and companies to help them integrate Thorchain for either swapping or getting prepared for single-sided yield. And that's been a fruitful process, but has just taken a little bit of time. And now we're at kind of the critical momentum phase where everything is happening very quickly. Eridonis has been leading the charge on helping them kind of facilitate the technical implementations. But yeah, that's just been a big emphasis right now. And we have a lot of big partners that, you know, are going to help bring a lot of volume. So we're pretty excited about that. I'm not going to share names specifically yet, but just across the ecosystem, everybody's pushing on that integrations and BD side, so that we can get more users to ThorChain and have ThorChain be that like backend infrastructure that everybody uses but nobody talks about. So pretty excited there. And other kind of aspects of all of this have been around, you know, just kind of explaining how ThorChain works. We've found some rough edges, and devs have put up some new PRs on the protocol level in order to improve the integration process. So there's just been a ton of kind of iteration around, you know, how we help all of these folks end up integrating and, making sure that it's as smooth as possible. And then, you know, figuring out, you know, what the appropriate levels of abstraction are, so that, you know, everybody has the information that they need and, aren't banging their heads on ThorChain's complexities.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. Hearing so many whispers of potential integrations and partners is extremely exciting, and it just seems like a constant flow right now. So I'm sure we're going to see like some really exciting ones, rolling out, and you guys are doing such a great job like on all the BD side and all of that. So really good. It's just like an exciting season to like see ThorChain in this kind of like mature enough state to really be having these conversations with like, you know, large players in some cases. So going to be exciting to see what pans out there.
Yeah. And this push to integrations is really just a push for volume for ThorChain, right? It's getting ThorChain services into more services than just, you know, here's one DEX, on a website. Integrations with wallets and other DEXs, it's a very strong use case for ThorChain. And the goal of it is to just increase volume, which is obviously, one of the key metrics that, you know, that we look at for how ThorChain's doing. And it's just a key indicator of strength, and that drives the yields that, that LPs want to see. So the integrations front of things is probably like the most important part, but it takes a lot of time to get these things, actually done, because there's a huge education phase. It was just like the model of ThorChain does not compute for a lot of these wallets and indexes. So that's just just one thing that just takes a little bit of time to develop. And thanks to NinoRum's team is working hard on getting through that and actually delivering on these integrations. So next week there should be two spaces with a wallet that is integrating ThorChain. There should be one on Wednesday, the 28th at 2 p.m. And then they'll also be joining to the Friday space. So if you're here next week, then you'll hear from a wallet who is putting ThorChain in the back end. So congrats to all your guys' efforts. And we'll hear more about it next week with some announcements.
Awesome. Really exciting. And yeah, Ryan, you touched on single-sided yield too, which is like, that's a great feature for all these integrations to have, right? Because you have these, you know, wallets that just have, like the average wallet user is a lot different than the average ThorChain user probably, right? Like the average wallet user is like holding, swapping a little bit. Like the average ThorChain user like has had to go through like a lot of convoluted stuff over the years to like, you know, kind of know what's going on here. Whereas like when we can simplify those features and just have it like plugged right into a wallet that already exists and already has a user base, and now they can just click swap. Now they can just click earn 5% or whatever and just have that immediately available is such a massive feature. And then like Cow said, like, you know, having the volume is really like the domino that allows all of this to really work and like really get the flywheel going. Cause all that potential volume is what's going to fund single-sided yield, what's going to fund regular LPs, what's going to get, you know, the liquidity black hole really going, which is going to allow for better slippage on swaps. And then, you know, we're off to the races.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that's been really interesting is that the kind of single-sided yield feature has, you know, everybody's eyes, you know, get really wide when we start to discuss that and what the opportunities are. And I think that that's kind of a way to kind of attract some of these integration partners. And it's like, look, you know, here's something that's very unique for your users that they all need, because you can see that they have these just idle balances. So when we start talking about that, they're like, well, where does the yield come from? Like the classic question. And it's like, well, and if you also add swapping, then you can drive yield to that to that product directly. And so it's this kind of virtuous cycle where, you know, start off with the single-sided yields product as a, you know, click to deposit here. And then, you know, in order to support your users, integrate swaps to help them solve that problem and juice the yields on the single sided. So it's a really compelling conversation, you know, once it gets rolling. But, you know, just making sure that people have the bandwidth and engineering time to do the integration has been, you know, we're a bit dependent on their schedules. And so, yeah, there's a huge opportunity here. And I think, like I was mentioning earlier, like the momentum has arrived. We're pushing forward on all of this now. And, yeah, just really, really excited to see it all roll out. Just kind of segueing on the single-sided stuff. This week we've kind of kicked off on a lot of single-sided testing. So what that means is, in mocknets, or first off, backing up. So for folks that aren't familiar with, the single-sided yield product, a feature. The idea here is that you can deposit native Bitcoin into a Thorchain vault, and then that is going to earn Bitcoin on it on the Bitcoin without you having to take on any Rune exposure. So that's extremely attractive for folks that, you know, clearly don't want either Rune exposure or, you know, have other strategies that they're interested in. And so, you know, it extends more to other assets as well, but, you know, the Bitcoin is the most compelling right now. And so it's a pretty simple product. You know, you don't have to wrap your head around impermanent loss or impermanent loss protection or any of the complexities of kind of traditional LPing. And so the part about all of this that, you know, I'm pretty excited about is that, you know, we have a new feature that we can like meet users where they're at rather than, you know, having to take a lot of time to explain all of the different complexities so that they're comfortable with being a regular LP. But to the point around what the focus has been this week, it's been around testing these features. So the code has been is being tested in what's called mocknets, which are just like local environments where we can just start poking around at the functions, making sure everything's working properly, and then starting to dig into some more formal verification of all the math, making sure all the accounting adds up, and then it'll be, you know, more active on StageNet from there, where we can play with live assets. But yeah, just kind of taking these things one step at a time, you know, having lots of eyes on things, getting a kind of a SWAT team together to start testing everything out. Earlier this week, I wrote up a little guide around how to set up a mocknet. If folks are interested in the Dev Discord, there's a POL testing Discord channel and some instructions there. If you run into any issues, feel free to ping me. I'm happy to try to help you troubleshoot. But at this point, I think the best thing that for folks in the community that are interested in this feature, you know, help the community test this out, you know, help us find sharp edges or other things that, you know, don't maybe need to get addressed. And then we can, you know, all move more confidently into kind of the next phases of rollout to StageNet and eventually to mainnet.
Awesome. Yeah. Once it hits StageNet, will we expect to have like pretty extensive testing there with live assets, like maybe Thor games type of stuff again? Or like, do you think that'll be a pretty long process? Like I'm trying to get a sense of how many, you know, security risks there are, how straightforward it is. How long do you kind of expect that to go on?
Yeah, that's a good question. So one of the, just so that folks kind of understand where some of the difficulties on testing are around, we need to generate yield in a pool to be able to test that the like POL and kind of yield accounting is working appropriately. And so one of the things that we've been doing recently is just running like in a mocknet, running local scripts that end up just sending a whole bunch of swaps to generate that yield. And so I think like to the point on StageNet, once we have things, I think that it's all active there. The main thing is just that we need to take real assets and start swapping them back and forth to generate the yield so that we can check the accounting. And right now that's easier to do in the mocknet environment. So I think we want to just squash any outstanding bugs that we can find in MockNet, and then like there will be a more concerted effort on StageNet. You know, once we've addressed anything, you know, that's glaring that we want to deal with. I'm not saying that exists. It's just we're searching for that sort of stuff.
Awesome, cool. Yeah, that makes sense. But it sounds like things are moving along. I mean, that's great. Like, you know, testing's kind of in process already and getting closer. So we're obviously so excited to like all the potential partnerships and getting SSL in them is like massive. On the ThorSwap side, and just thinking of UI within the ThorChain ecosystem, we're already having a lot of conversations and mockups and designs around what this interface should look like. Something I'm pretty passionate about with this is I don't think this product should look like LPing to the user. I think that would be like underselling its importance. Because like you were speaking to, this is really such a holy grail feature. I mean, this is like what we've all been dreaming about since, speaking for myself, since I got interested in ThorChain, this idea was like being conceptualized, right? Like back then we were talking about like the savings vaults and stuff like that and yield bearing sense, which basically is what's panning out. And it's like such a holy grail feature that to just put it as like, oh, you can enter a liquidity pool, but you can only deposit, you're only earning on one side or whatever with like a bunch of complicated stuff, is like so underselling the beauty of this. And I know ThorChain and you guys are coming up with a lot of really clever things on the back end to really allow the front ends to make this dead simple, right? Like this concept of the memo lists adding into the vault, which would basically mean you're just sending Bitcoin to a Bitcoin wallet, and then ThorChain knows how to manage that wallet without having any instructions. It's just like pre-programmed to like know what to do with it, what vault to put it in, how to handle withdrawals and rewards and all of that, which is like really cool. So on the front end side, you know, speaking for ThorSwap, like I'm definitely really pushing for just making this dead simple. Like I just want to see a big letters of what the APY is, select the coin, click deposit, shows you what you deposited, shows you how much you've earned, withdraw, add, you know, whatever, just like dead simple, I think is really going to be the key to growing a product like this, because it's such a more broad thing than LPing. And I think this is a new, this will be like kind of a new era for ThorChain, where the LPing that we've all been doing is going to become the advanced feature for the people that really kind of know like the inner workings and what's going on behind the scenes. Whereas this single-sided yield is so simple, kind of like surface level entry, which I think is really what like UIs and wallets and all of that will obviously be pushing at the forefront, because it's so much more accessible and it's so much like lower risk, in the sense of they don't have to understand potential impermanent loss and impermanent loss protection and all these other various complexities. So it's just it's going to be great.
Yeah, the memos thing is going to be really big, and that's something I'm actually working on. I mean, you know, obviously to start, we need to get the base product right and working and safe. And that's the primary focus now. The memoless edition will be super useful because, you know, that will mean you don't even really need an interface or a wallet or anything connected to ThorChain to deposit your Bitcoin or other assets to earn yield on them. I mean, really what the process would be is you look up the inbound address from the endpoint on ThorNode, and you send your Bitcoin to that address in the correct amount for what you're trying to accomplish. And the concept there, at least I'll just give the example for Bitcoin, is 10,000 sats is the minimum input amount. And anything above 20,000 sats will be registered as an add liquidity action. So if you deposit 20,000 sats to an inbound ad, or more, 20,000 or more sats to an inbound address on ThorChain, that will be added, or you know, you'll either be, you know, creating a new single-sided position, or you'll be adding to a single-sided position. If you send in between 10,000 and 20,000 sats, the value of the sats will be used as a basis points withdraw. So if you've sent in 15,000 sats, for example, the network will register that as a 5,000 basis points withdraw of your position, which is 50%. And, you know, 50% of your position, which would include your principal capital as well as any yield on top will be withdrawn to your wallet. I mean, that is a dead simple user experience right there. And what's cool about this is that a lot of like early wallets don't actually support adding memos to especially UTXO chains. So like, for example, you could just open up your ledger, you know, send this amount to the inbound address and that's it. And this actually kind of broadens the scope of users that this applies to, because, you know, some of these wallets don't actually support adding a memo, which is required right now for any liquidity adds into Thorchain.
Yeah, that's extremely cool. Like kind of like understanding the inner workings of like just changing those last digits to get the withdrawal, just sending dust basically. And that's like what triggers the withdrawal. Really, really cool, and makes it dead simple, makes it so any wallet can do it. That's awesome. And obviously I'm sure like a lot of UIs will simplify that, but it's really cool to know you could just kind of do it from like, I don't know. Yeah. You could just do it from your own ledger, like directly. You don't have to even use anything if you wanted to.
I'm looking forward to seeing what the front ends for single-sided LP look like. Cause anyone could really spin up a super, super simple front end, for Thorchain, which would basically just be, a QR code on a website that just has three lines of instructions, you know, scan this QR code and send however much Bitcoin you want to deposit. And then whenever you want to withdraw, just scan it again and send this specific amount. Like, you need two lines of instructions and a QR code on a website. And you could have a simple interface to deposit and withdraw the single-sided Bitcoin LP position entirely from the Bitcoin blockchain.
Yeah, really cool. Cal, I think you had asked this question a few weeks ago. I don't know if we have an answer, but like, are those addresses going to churn, or are they going to be fixed, or do we know that yet?
So yeah, the one thing here is that the address that you deposit from needs to, you know, remain active and accessible by you. Some Bitcoin wallets, you know, through the UTXOs, they will rotate addresses, and basically, you know, anything that's left over in the UTXO is sent to like a brand new address. So those type of wallets will definitely need to like build in the functionality to maintain that original deposit wallet, just so, you know, the user needs to, you know, add liquidity and withdraw liquidity with those sats requests from the same wallet in order to receive their funds. That's how the network will identify users. But in terms of the inbound addresses that users are sending Bitcoin to, as long as it's a valid Asgard Vault inbound address that is returned from the inbound address's endpoint of Thornode, it will be registered. And those obviously do change. You know, inbound addresses rotate through Asgard Vaults based on security levels. And obviously every week, Asgard Vaults all churn to new addresses. But as long as... So a user might be sending, you know, the add liquidity and the withdraw liquidity to two different Bitcoin addresses. But as long as they're valid inbound Asgard addresses served by that endpoint, it will work perfectly fine. The network will register that request and send back the funds. So that's just the two things to keep in mind.
But the original deposit address though, but those vaults will or will not be retired. Like, for example, for a UI, will they need to, like, would a dead simple user be able, like, they wouldn't be able to just bookmark an address and like send in some Bitcoin and then 6 months later, like send it into the same address, right? Like that would...
Correct. Yeah. So right, they cannot. Yeah. That's a good thing to call it. You cannot bookmark an address that you deposit to. That's never a good thing to do. In terms of adding or any action on Thorchain, addresses should never be cached, should never be bookmarked. You always want to pull the latest from the inbound addresses endpoint. So that's a good call out. They cannot be bookmarked. They need to be retrieved fresh from the network every time.
Cool. Any other topics to cover, Cal, or should we let some questions come up?
No, we can let some questions come up. Like, there's definitely some interesting stuff developing on like the ThorFi side, but you know, I think that'd be best to save for another time. But I mean, like, there's just always just so much to focus on. Like, we have the AVAX launch today, DexAg, and then single side liquidity, and I think that's good enough for now. There were some people who were like requesting in and out the whole time. So if anyone wants to come up and just, you know, talk about integrations or DexAg or AVAX, if you have questions about, you know, like the process on what's going to happen for the pools, you can just hit the request button and come up. You know, we'll have some time up here. So
yeah. And just FYI to those requests that dropped off, we always just kind of go through the updates and then we get to those. So you're always welcome to just like stay requested. We'll get to you. It's just we're going through the updates, and then we'll, you know, transition to Q&A after a while.
I'm just going to choose to believe that Twitter is just rugging them off of the off the request button. It's too buggy. I'm sorry, Twitter.
Could be. Yeah, you could have a point there. But yeah, anyone feel free to request. But yeah, in the meantime, like what you were saying about you know, wanting you guys to be dead simple, I'm also really excited. This is probably like the biggest feature I've been excited about, like thinking UI stuff ever, because it's just like I was saying before, it's just such an opportunity to like position this as a brand new thing. Like the user does not need to understand that this is like, well, it's technically an LP on the back end, and like, you know, the protocol is like using the reserve and like blah, blah, blah. Like, no, like just show me the yield. Let me click a deposit button. Like, that's it. So yeah, we just at ThorSwap, there was just like we're already having meetings about this and stuff. And like, it's really cool seeing some mockups. So if people do have ideas and concepts and, you know, feedback, I would like for, at least speaking for the ThorSwap side again, just for our concepts to like be put out there a little bit and make sure everybody is on board, make sure that it's like what the community really wants and wants to see and things like that. So hoping the process can kind of be community driven like that. So always feel free to give feedback. Kenton,
it's
what's
a great
up?
Opportunity.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Just real quick. It's a great opportunity to launch your own product. Like if you want to build on ThorChain, doing something with single side liquidity, it like seems to me like the most dead simple product that you can offer that like would immediately gain some kind of you know, use and attention. So if you're looking to build with ThorChain, I can't think of a better excuse than to start with building a single side liquidity product once that's out.
Great point, because that is so like obvious and simple. Like all you have to do is basically manage like a wallet send, right? Like that's basically it, right? On the complexity side of the tech side. So, and then the other thing is that if you were building something dead simple like that, you absolutely can still charge an affiliate fee. So ThorChain is all set up and ready for that, right? And that'll apply just the same to single-sided liquidity. So you can charge a small sliver on the deposit or on the withdrawal. I believe it's both. You have both options, right? I believe so. So yeah, I mean, a great opportunity to like build a new thing, but also have it be, you know, financially driven, of course. Like that's the cool thing about ThorChain, is like it allows you to build in a business into all these things like relatively easily, because it's kind of out of the box ready to go with all these affiliate opportunities and things like that.
Yeah, I'm excited about the opportunity to do something like that. My only concern or my question would be, you know, how quickly are we going to hit the caps? I know initially they'll probably be low to be safe, but I'm wondering once things kind of, you know, get ironed out, still going to be a little bit limited, right?
Yeah, what I think will happen is the caps will be hit, you know, pretty quick. I think there'll be a lot of demand for this product, or for this feature. And I think a lot of, you know, wallets and interfaces will create features around it. I think the caps will be hit relatively quickly, but what will happen then is the incentive pendulum will swing all the way to the nodes. Nodes will be earning crazy APYs, which will incentivize a lot of like sidelined Rune capital to be deployed to nodes. I could definitely see nodes splitting up into smaller nodes just to kind of take advantage and add more of their yield. And once they hit that 900K kind of effective cap. And so I think this will kind of create a back and forth of more security added, more liquidity added back and forth. And with these new integrations coming through for the volume side, I think this should counteract the addition of liquidity and keep those APYs, you know, pretty stable, if not, you know, way higher as these integrations continue to roll through.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thanks. Are the docs, I haven't looked, but are the docs updated with kind of a technical walkthrough if you wanted to implement a product on top of this?
I think the dev docs are in progress. That will definitely be prioritized before the mainnet rollout. Okay. So yeah, as we're banging on this on StageNet, we'll get those sorted and make sure they're ready for developers.
Awesome.
Kenton, how's it going?
Oh, good. Thanks, guys. Chad, you might have already kind of answered my question, but I know the front ends can program in their own commission on trades. Can they also skim a whatever portion of fee of the liquidity pool? If they're, you know, if they're helping people provide liquidity, can they somehow capture some of that? if they want?
Yeah, I was just thinking about this actually. Maybe the Nine Realms guys have some insight here, but the what they absolutely can do is charge a fee on the enter or the withdraw. As far as I understand, what would require a change or something extremely complex to be built would be to skim a fee continuously. I think that would be like orders of magnitude more complicated and require a lot of changes and stuff like that. Do you guys have any insight there?
Well, yeah, what's really interesting is this is part of the code that I wasn't familiar with before. And all this, you know, this feature made me kind of go read and review it. What's really interesting about affiliate fees when you're adding, like on a ad liquidity request from the user, if there's an affiliate address defined and there's an affiliate basis points fee defined, what happens is that it's not like what happens with a swap where, you know, that affiliate address is essentially sent that amount. What happens is on that affiliate basis points, a liquidity position is added or, you know, appended for that affiliate address. So that affiliate address will then have a small liquidity position that is equal to that affiliate fee's basis point and will start earning yield on that liquidity position and can be withdrawn from that affiliate address.
Oh, wow. That's huge. That's because it's one thing to have a one-time fee, but to have continuous, everybody wants recurring revenue, right? So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I need to check how that works with the withdraw, if that also adds, or maybe that just sends it. Maybe it says similar to a swap, but yeah, definitely for ads. So if an interface is, and I don't know if any interface right now is charging affiliate fees for ad liquidities. I know swaps definitely. But essentially, you know, those interfaces could just start building a massive LP position in every single pool, which is super cool.
Yeah, that'd be really sick. I think Thor Wallet does. I don't know if any others do, but I'm pretty almost positive. Yeah, actually, I'm basically 100%. I think they're charging on deposit, I think. But yeah, that sounds awesome. Really cool feature. Like that'd be massive. And yeah, that'd be like you said, Kenton, like having that continuous ongoing revenue for ecosystem projects, like that's what would be kind of the most exciting. Because yeah, I was thinking about how charging on withdraw is really nice for users, but kind of almost like incentivizes keeping liquidity longer, for which is good for Thorchain, obviously. But then it's kind of like you're deferring the interface fee for the builder of the interface. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff there. So that'll be cool to see what continues to develop.
Cool. Yeah, I just want to point out that is currently how it works. So, when like affiliate fee is charged on ad liquidity, a liquidity position is added for that affiliate address. That is currently how it works. So, yeah, which is pretty cool.
Oh, gotcha.
Right on. Then I have another kind of follow-up question. So, like, as far as getting all the wallets, front ends, whatever, to tie in Thorchain, instead of relying on just like Nine Realms to do it, I mean, have you guys thought about decentralizing the sales process? So like people like me, anybody else listening on the call, anybody can kind of start networking and reaching out and connecting with these wallets, pitching them on Thorchain, and then referring them to a website or to someone at Nine Realms or something like that.
Right now, hey, Kenton, it's Orion here. Just right now, the integration process is being improved, right? So it's pretty technical. And so I think that currently just working directly with them has been fruitful. You know, if somebody wants to start doing BD stuff from the community, great. However, we also don't want to like thrash these different teams. You know, like if you went and put together a list of the top 50 wallets and other organizations to talk to, it's probably stuff that we've already probably talked to them. So we don't really want to thrash them. But if folks find new ones, I guess DM me. Happy to discuss it. I don't really know how we could incentivize that like lead generation, but open to trying to figure that out if that's something that we can do and, you know, ends up driving volume.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Any other listeners want to request?
Well, there's always a lot of things going on tonight. AVAX launch, how many hours? I think 7 hours now. You can check when the churn is on thorchain.net/nodes. It's in the /node.
Or thornode.network.
Oh yeah, thorchain.net/nodes. There's a churn counter. Just about 7 hours, almost to the minute. So 7 hours from now, the AVAX pool should be live, and then, you know, swaps will be available. And that also includes LP actions would be able to deposit and things like that. So, and then about 2 hours after that, the USDC and USDT pools will be live. So look forward to that tonight. You'll be able to make a deposit. Again, like I'd personally only recommend to deposit symmetrically, so with Rune and AVAX, if you're looking to do so, and make sure you have the proper proportions. Otherwise, you could get wrecked by some arbitragers on the network. So especially when the pool is shallow, just be really careful, and you know, don't expose yourself to any kind of you know, arbitrage opportunities, especially on day one when there's like a lot of slippage. And I would not recommend an asymmetric deposit, because with a shallow pool, there's going to be a lot of slippage involved there, and you might get a bad price. So just a word of warning for tonight.
Hi, everyone. Here is Pedro from Tor Wallet.
Yo.
Nice to be here. Just wanted to say a few things. Like, we are Tor Wallet super excited with things that are coming up now, like especially now AVAX today. We're looking forward for a long time. And also now with what have you guys been discussing on single site. I think this is such a massive move. And I think it opens a lot of opportunities for people that are more on the edge, that they, you know, when you talk to someone who's not really into crypto and you talk about liquidity pools and pooling, and they have no clue what you're talking about. And I think this simplifies a lot the journey, and you know, you can use other type of language, you know, whatever that is, savings or earning or whatever, and the people just put their Bitcoin, you can earn something on that, and we're super excited and looking forward to that. So kudos on that coming live soon.
What else has been going on with Tor Wallet, Pedro? If you want to give a quick update on like some new things that I'm sure that not everyone's familiar with.
Yeah, sure. So we have been working a lot of stuff recently. So we are quite excited with the aggregator that we went live now on the mobile and the web app. So with our partnership with the Rango guys. So definitely something that we're super excited about, because of the different, you know, we're trying to extend the functionality that comes with Torchain. So now you can swap within Torchain, but also you can then, if you have, for example, Bitcoin, you can swap from Bitcoin to Ethereum, and then from there on, go crazy on other chains, like now with AVAX and also Binance Smart Chain, Phantom, and so on. So that's pretty nice, and that's kind of a nice feature that that's now available as well. So that's one thing. And also another thing that was a bit you know, we made some news before, but having the possibility for people to buy crypto with fiat without KYC, of course there's some limits on the amounts and so on, but that also for us is important to onboard customers. Sometimes people don't have any crypto at all, and you know, you have a wallet or you have your keys, but you have no crypto, you don't know how to buy it. And to simplify that process is also kind of a, like a super important thing for not only for Tor Wallet, but I think overall for Torchain, to bring more people. How do we make easy for people who don't know anything, you know, just simplify the experience.
Sweet. Thanks so much for you guys' hard work. Tor Wallet, a great product. So, I hope to start gaining a lot of new users and just onboarding them into the Torchain ecosystem. It's a great mobile DEX. And just a great self-custody wallet. So congrats for everything that's been going on so far. Looking forward to see what's coming out the pipe next.
Thanks. Yeah, sure. We have some stuff working on. So be sure to follow our Twitter and our Discord join. And you know, we have keep pushing some updates in the next few coming weeks.
Cool, guys. Any final thoughts before we wrap?
I think we're good to go. It's just AVAX is here. LFG. Get ready to swap, get ready to LP. Maybe not immediately, because be careful of slippage. But if you know what you're doing, like, we're basically here. And it's just always fun time to see something that's been something that we've been excited about for a while, and then it's like finally there. It's like, oh my god, it's actually happening. So it's actually happening.
Ava launch, yeah, baby. Great.
LFG, let's bring the volume.
Yeah, tell your AVAX friends. Like Cal was saying, maybe we can wrap up with that, Cal, like going over all the upcoming content for the next week. Because there's going to be a lot of a push to, you know, tap into not just our community, but like, let's get the other side, let's get the AVAX side excited about this, right? Like with any of these integrations, like this is as much of an integration for the other side as it is for us, you know, like it's expanding. Like I always loved that narrative, like it's expanding the functionality of the other chain immensely. And that's like really important and really huge. So, you know, as a community, that's something that the community can really get behind is like the education and spreading the word and explaining like what this means for them, you know, like how does this benefit them? Not just how does this, why is this good for Thorchain? Cause it really is. It's good for the whole space. It's good for both sides. So it's a real advancement. So let's get the word out.
Yeah. I think it's difficult for them to wrap, like the people on the Avalanche side, it's difficult for them to wrap their head around the benefits of it yet, especially now that the integration isn't live. So I think a lot of the impetus is on us to prove, we have to prove ourselves in this integration and show that like it's a useful value driver, to just get that recognition from the Avalanche community and the Avalanche team and so on. So, while there isn't a lot of like buzz about it, like right now from the Avalanche like side of things, it at the end of the day, it's on Thorchain to prove itself as a useful cross-chain liquidity network. And, the use cases that come with Thorchain being integrated with Avalanche, like obviously we see that they're huge. So it's definitely on the pool to prove itself in its usefulness. And you know, with DEX aggregation and just cross-chain swaps is just, you know, two huge things to for them to use as products in their own ecosystem, right? So I think it'll take time, but just gaining adoption within the Avalanche ecosystem is a huge goal that will take a while to accomplish, but I think we'll get there because it's just such a useful product for the whole Avalanche ecosystem and all these other ecosystems as well, right? So next week on Tuesday we'll have a space with a DEX aggregation partner for Avalanche. So that's Tuesday the 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern time. We'll have a cool space with some awesome folks from the Apex community talking about DEX aggregation finally. And then also two other spaces next week about wallet integration. That'll be on Wednesday and on the weekly space on Friday. So much cool stuff coming out of the pipe. Media will start going out on Monday about this Apex integration, just because it's like, you know, integration happening on a Friday. People are, you know, away for the weekend, a lot of the Nine Realms team included. Right. So, and then next week we're really going to start banging on this and making some noise for the community and for the AVAX folks. So, let's show ourselves next week.
Let's go.
All right. Sweet. Take care, guys.
All right.
Wrap it up. Thanks for coming on, Aranonis, Orion, you guys are the goats, Chad, as always. Catch you guys later.
Yeah. Thanks everyone.